Lake Effect Weekend returns on WUWM. I'm Bonnie North. Thanks for joining us. Knickknacks, tchotchkes, collectibles, whatever you want to call them, there are indeed objects we love to collect. As a student of material culture, Lake Effect contributor Jonifer Fields examines the meanings behind these collections, what they signify both historically and to an individual.
A souvenir is usually something someone brings back from somewhere they paid a visit. But what happens when that somewhere no longer exists? Author and professor Didier Deleuze says, it was a romance novel that sparked her interest in collecting items, souvenirs, from a place she only visited in a book. Deleuze is an associate professor in the Department of Geography and Anthropology at Louisiana State University and the author of Ramona Memories, Tourism and the Shaping of Southern California. She was recently at UW-Madison given a lecture entitled Collecting Kitsch and the Intimate Geographies of Social Memories and told me about how we collect and what we collect creates a social archive.
I entered into collecting sort of backwards, and that's because I specifically sought to collect objects that had been discarded by others, souvenirs that people had purchased when they were on a trip a long time ago and that they no longer wanted. I started doing research on a 19th century novel called Ramona. Ramona was written by a woman by the name of Helen Hunt Jackson, who was an ardent crusader for Native American rights. And the idea was she was going to write a novel that would fictionalize some of the trials and tribulations that Native Americans were being subjected to by whites as white people were colonizing California in the late 19th century. She had written other books on that topic and hadn't drawn enough attention. It hadn't been successful, so she decided to fictionalize the account. And she thought that by, as she put it, sugaring the pill, that people would get so wrapped up in the romance that they would end up swallowing a big dose of Native American issues, and suddenly they'd understand and they'd rally to the cause. Unfortunately, Jackson died about a year after the book was published. The book became hugely popular, but because she was dead, she wasn't able to guide, what happened. She wasn't able to, donate all her profits or go on a big speaking tour or do all the things that somebody who's truly devoted to a cause would have done with this kind of success. What happened was that the romance part completely took off. So it also happened that Jackson's novel was the first book written about Southern California. And so people who went to Southern California, they wanted to know something about the region, couldn't watch a movie about it, couldn't watch a TV show about it because that didn't exist, so they would read a novel about it. And that was common in the United States in the late 19th century, that if you went somewhere, you would read a work of what was called regional fiction about the place where you were going. So when a tourism and real estate boom began in Southern California in the 1880s, just after Jackson died, all those tourists and homeseekers began buying her book. I never sought to go to those places and buy the souvenirs because those places were no longer a place that sold souvenirs in the first place. So that was no longer possible. So I had to find where the souvenirs had gotten to, because the very nature of the souvenir is that you buy it in the place that it commemorates and then you take it with you to some other place. So souvenirs have a geography, chiefly that they just get scattered all over the place. Right, so they're very hard to find. Collecting has always been partly about your ability to gather things that you obtain, let's say, firsthand in the place where they're made or where they originate, but also your ability to reach through deep networks to get the things that you want, even though you haven't been to the place where they originated. So what eBay did was it enabled collectors to find things that were remote to them, right, that were geographically distant. So it completely transformed the spatialities of collecting and made collectors able to find stuff that they weren't previously able to be connected to at all. At some point, friends were saying, oh, you ought to check out this eBay thing. You guys like antiques and old stuff. You can find all kinds of stuff on eBay. So eventually I started looking. At some point I typed in Ramona to see what I could find. And the main thing that pops up are postcards. So I started buying a few of them, and then more stuff started to come up. And then eventually the souvenirs, the other souvenirs, the non-paper souvenirs, I started to find those. And I started collecting them just almost as, I won't say a joke, but sort of for the laugh. Partly because I wanted to validate this original story that there had been so many souvenirs. That story provided no evidence that there were souvenirs. It just asserted that there had been thousands of different kinds of souvenirs. So I thought, well, here they actually are. Here's a salt and pepper shaker. Here's a little cream pitcher. Here's a, you know, whatever, a flower pot or something. So so I just started buying them whenever I saw them. And eventually started collecting more and more. And eventually I started to realize that it was really, truly significant because there were so many. There were just so very many different things. I mean, I have two very different Ramona-covered wagon lamps. I mean, there was no covered wagon in the novel. So if you're a baseball card collector, then you want to collect the whole set, right? But it's a known set from the beginning. From the outset, you know that there's a finite quantity. The problem with collecting Ramona stuff is that nobody has any idea what was ever available. So I've never had this idea that I would collect one of everything or collect the complete set because I was never under the impression that a complete set could exist. Ramona, the novel, and the phenomenon were both extremely transformative in Southern California, and they're very important parts of our history in California. So even though it's a work of fiction, I never thought that it should be obliterated from the landscape. I always thought that it should be acknowledged, and I don't think that we should be ashamed of acknowledging the importance of fiction. So I was always sad that at the home of Ramona and Ramona's marriage place, for example, you could no longer visit those places as Ramona landmarks, and that they attempted to hide those places' Ramona connections. So a few years after my book was published, when people contacted me from those places and they wanted me to exhibit my souvenir collection and they wanted me to help them to organize these exhibits and to validate the presence of Ramona at these places in different ways, I was totally blown away. And I could not have been more thrilled. I could not have been more honored. But I never thought that I would be able to reverse Ramona's obliteration at any of these places. That I had never even dreamed.
Lake Effect contributor Jennifer Fields produces and curates the series It's a Material World. That project is funded by the Chipstone Foundation, a decorative arts foundation whose mission is preserving and interpreting their collection, as well as stimulating research and education in the decorative arts. And that is all the time we have today. I'm Bonnie North. Thanks so much for making us a part of your afternoon. Lake Effect Weekend airs every Saturday and Sunday from 3 to 4 in the afternoon, and you can hear our weekday version of the show at 10 in the morning. It's all on 89.7 WUWM, Milwaukee Public Radio, your NPR station in Milwaukee. Stay tuned now for Weekend All Things Considered. It's coming up next.